Welcome into another edition of Heard Here First. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp with you. Saturday at high noon, the South Florida Bulls will take on the Navy Midshipmen in what is a titanic battle for these two schools, Derek. Basically, it's an elimination game in the American Conference, and the winner continues their path toward a conference title game.
For sure, and it just feels like, based on what happened on Tuesday night with the latest college football ranking, that the Bulls have control of this thing. It's funny because you have, what, five teams with one loss? And they probably, is it six? I mean, it's half the league, but everyone feels like they have control. But the team that actually got recognized by the only poll that matters, the college football rankings, is the team that's actually in control, and that's the USF Bulls.
Yeah, it looked amazing to see them up there on the screen on Tuesday night. I think for Bulls fans everywhere, we all thought they should be there. We all figured that they were in control. But until you see your name up there on that projected field of 12 or on the top 25 rankings of the College Football Committee, you're just not sure, because there are teams like James Madison that are wondering. There are teams like North Texas that are wondering, what happens if? Well, we know that if South Florida runs the table, they're going to get in at this point.
And if you were curious, just so you know, so Saturday afternoon, you were calling the basketball game against George Washington. Great game. Awesome game. I was in our flagship radio station headquarters, because that's where the game is actually produced from. So while I'm observing that, I was definitely watching James Madison Marshall. That's where we are right now.
Yeah,
rooting for Marshall. If anybody doesn't know, it was a 4-point game, and Marshall had it 3rd and 3, driving with about 2 minutes to go, and they decided to slam it up the middle twice and got stopped. And I'm thinking, come on, Marshall. So the point is, you're having to root for some weird stuff, even though if you just look logically and not emotionally, the Bulls absolutely have the quality wins, and even their losses are quality losses, well more than anybody else in the so-called G5, and that got reflected rightly. Now, the trick is, obviously, not just to go, oh, we got the ranking, we're in good shape, and lose focus on what's got to be done, and that is the Bulls still have to win 4 games, and this Saturday may be, in my opinion, the most challenging one.
I don't disagree with that, Derek, because anytime you face a Navy team with this, with their option offense, but what they can do is they can throw the football. And when you face Air Force, or when you face Army, or sometimes when you face Rice, those schools can't throw the football like Navy can. Now, Air Force can throw it a little bit. And we saw earlier this season, we were watching Tulane and Army, and that was the game where it looked like Army had Tulane beat. And then all they had to do was get a first down or two and end up winning the game or going to overtime. They couldn't throw the football. Navy's the opposite. Navy can throw the football. They have dynamic wing backs that double as receivers. Blake Horvath, their quarterback, is really good. He can run it. He can throw it. And to me, it's the most difficult week of preparation that you have the entire season. I think it's more difficult than preparing for Florida, more difficult than preparing for Miami, because if you make one mistake, the next guy that moves is the scoreboard operator, and Navy will score.
You're right about that. We'll talk more about Blake Horvath, and we're talking like he's fine and he's healthy, when we also must acknowledge he did not play in the last game with an upper body injury. Let's lay that out just briefly. In their loss, their first of now two straight losses after a 7-0 start and 10-game winning streak, late in the game, he got hurt against North Texas, and that was a game that propelled North Texas up into the conversation. But I really, truly think that last week against Notre Dame, combined with the injury and the snowy conditions and the opponent, the folks at Navy said, you know what, let's go for a conference championship. And held him out, I'm pretty sure. And I think we all are under the same belief that Horvath is going to play against the Bulls.
Well, if Navy is going to have any chance against this high-octane South Florida offense, they're going to have to score some points, because the Bulls get it up and down the field. The one thing about South Florida, Derek, is you have to score points to keep up with the Bulls. You know they're going to get 30, 35, 40, 45 points. And I don't know if Navy's defense is good enough to contain South Florida. I know Navy can score, but they got to get a stop or two. And I don't think their defense is good enough to do that on Saturday.
If the Bulls offense plays anywhere close to what it did against UTSA, it's going to be a Bulls win. This feels like a You know, you looked at it a month ago, and you weren't sure how it was going to be because Navy was undefeated at the time. Mm-hmm. Since then, if you really break down their seven wins, there's no meat on that bone. And
no,
then they
you're
get
right.
into the tough trips to, you know, Denton, Texas, and a slightly more of a college traditional place than Denton, Texas, which is South Bend, Indiana. And they just get destroyed. Obviously, they didn't have their quarterback, but defensively, they didn't have enough. So part of that, which we'll get into obviously, is making sure that you get Navy's offense off the field. That is, I'm sure, what Navy is just dying to do. If we people that know what Army did at the end of the game last week, where they had an 18-play drive to end the game and ran out the clock, Navy is looking to do something similar against USF. They obviously know they can't win a shootout. But the Bulls, boy, if they forget the defensive touchdowns, which, wow, that was a nice little start to the game against UTSA. But everything else, they look unstoppable right now. If they're anywhere like that, they should win Saturday and take control of everything.
Just felt like the Bulls could have scored 100 against UTSA the other night. They ended up scoring 55 in that win, 55-23. Here were the highlights from the Thursday night, a weekday game on national television at Raymond James Stadium.
McCown is under center on first and 10. He will throw, hit as he throws, picked off by the Bulls. Coming back the other way, Tavon Roy. Touchdown! It took 8 seconds. Is knocked away by Jarvis Lee. It's on the ground. It's picked up by Fred Gaskin. And Gaskin is going to take it all the way home. Another defensive touchdown. Jarvis Lee knocked it loose. Fred Gaskin picked it up and ran halfway to Miami. It's Brown running left. Breaks a tackle. Turns it into a big game. Leaps another man and gets into UTSA territory. With a first down, Brown bullied one tackler, jumped over another, and gets the Bulls a first down. Again, the tight formation, and Brown steps back, goes wide left, takes the tackle, and gets into the end zone. 13 yards, Byron Brown. They set it up like it would be the tush push, but Brown took one step backward, rolled left. Now he throws to the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Keyshawn Singleton. That's six for the Bulls. Byron Brown to Singleton, and South Florida extends their lead.
You know how you go to the gym and you're like, I'm just going to sit on this piece of equipment and I'm just going to test out my range. You take all the weights off. That's called zero resistance. And that's what I'm seeing from this UTSA defense.
Running back right side, McCown under pressure, has to dump it off. He's got Henry, and he's dumped back at the 19-yard line. Tavon Ward and Jarvis Lee, and it's going to be second down and long.
Yeah, it's just tremendous energy coming from this defensive unit, despite them being on the field for the majority of this game.
Bulls now with 215 yards of offense in 4 minutes of possession time. Think about that.
That's unheard of, Jim.
Hand off left side, getting the edge. Davenport into the open field. To the 30, to the 20. Echols blocking for him. Touchdown, South Florida. 59 yards, Nekai Davenport. Brown to throw. Throws it long downfield. Singleton, he has got it, and it is caught, and that's a touchdown. 40 yards, Brown to Singleton. For the second time tonight, 5.5 to go first half, and the Bulls have 41 on the board.
My goodness.
So, Derek, a few more highlights than normal there, but again, the way they started on defense, and I just felt like Alex Golish kind of called off the dogs early in that because I really thought, wow, they're going to score 60, 70, 80 points. UTSA couldn't stop them. UTSA couldn't do anything on offense until midway through the third quarter when the Bulls had their backups in at that time. And Byron Brown was out of the game, more importantly.
Yeah, and everybody that we have come to know and love, Byron obviously was just a man possessed. Keyshawn Singleton was a man possessed. Nekai Davenport was fantastic. Like you say, they couldn't be stopped. Trying to like temper everything here because the ranking is there for the Bulls. They look great. And so right when that happens, usually something bad happens. So let's make sure that's not the case. And we also put that out there that Navy, you know, 2 weeks ago was undefeated and on the top of the world and in the rankings, but now is not. So the Bulls just have to keep it that way. This, to me, is everything. It's funny because I was seeing the SEC commissioner this week, Greg Sankey, say, you know, we should have eight teams in the, we could have eight teams, which is the maximum that anybody could have. And I'm thinking, no, right now you've got a play-in with your own teams trying to get in. Right now is the Bulls.
Playoff game for
it.
Them.
Yeah. This is the playoff game. This is the first round of a faux 16 or 20-game playoff.
Yeah, no doubt. These two teams through the years have been very even. Sixth meeting all time. Bulls lead the series 3-2, and they've alternated, Derek. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, which means for the Bulls, they're due for a win. Their only win coming in Annapolis in 2023. I'm expecting a really exciting game on Saturday, but I'm also expecting a South Florida win because I think they're the better team. We have a lot to talk about here on Herd Here First. Let's talk more about the offense when we come back. We'll take a break. This is the South Florida Bulls Radio Network.
Imagine the perfect chicken tender. Crispy, juicy, for lack of a better word, tendery. Now imagine these perfect tenders at Wendy's. Because they are. Wendy's new chicken tenders are here with delicious new dipping sauces like Wendy's Signature, Creamy Ranch, and Honey Barbecue. And they're so good, we even changed our name from Wendy's to Tendies. I believe that's what the kids call manifesting. For Tendies you're going to know by name, got to be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Florida Blue presents Game-Changing Health Solutions. Did you know you can relieve stress by doing yoga at a Florida Blue Center?
And exhale.
Treating yourself to Florida Blue discounts. Seeing a chiropractor covered by Florida Blue. Having your own Florida Blue health consultant.
Welcome.
Or cheering on your team right now. Discover more game-changing health solutions at FloridaBlue.com. Florida Blue is a trade name of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc.
Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp back with you on Herd Here First. We're gearing up for a Saturday afternoon game, 12 o'clock against the Navy Midshipmen. Bulls will be on the road with a whole lot on the line. The American Conference title still up for grabs. Obviously, just getting there is priority number one. But the college football playoff now lingering in the background because of what took place on Tuesday. Derek, very interesting stuff that we found out as well because, you know, you can guess. We'll talk offense here coming up in just a second for the Bulls, by the way. But you can guess where the Bulls were slotted, you know, based on wins and quality losses and stuff like that. But what you really don't know is how they look in the computers. And it came out this week, courtesy of Navy. Navy, listen,
yes.
Navy's got access that most people don't have. They've got some files. They just call up the Pentagon and they run some numbers. But we find out the composite computer rankings in the American, and the Bulls were first, followed by North Texas, Tulane, East Carolina, and Navy. And to me, it's a little surprising that Navy was fifth in this. But when you look at the numbers, it's not close. And that's extremely comforting to me as a Bulls fan, knowing that the Bulls have that much cushion in the composite computer rankings.
Well, first of all, Navy is not a every sport member, but Navy football specifically, and I'm sure for all their sports, they are the best as far as sports information and that. I will give a nod to, I'll let you guess, maybe you can give two guesses, of the traditional teams in the American. Who does the best job? Their website, the quality of the writing, and the sports information. I'm giving you time to think about it before you tell me who you think it could be. And I'll give them some love, and then I'll go back to what Navy let us know. Who do you think?
Let's see. How about...
I know you deal with all of them.
Tulane's really good, I think.
Okay, you know what? That's a great answer. But East Carolina, if you ever just pay attention to their stories and all their information, it's fantastic. But yes, Tulane, definitely.
Yeah.
So what Navy was able to do, because of the tiebreakers in the American for picking the teams, and this could have been a big situation for a three-way tie possibly, and we could still be here, obviously. But first of all, head-to-head takes full advantage. If you have a three-way tie, if one team is 2-0, they are going to be the owner of the three-way tie. And if there's not a team, in other words, if they haven't all played each other, no one's 2-0 against the other two teams, it goes to CFP rank, which, ding, Bulls have that now.
Mm-hmm.
But had that not been the case, the other one is a regular composite computer rank. And if you're wondering about that, Navy spelled it out, and it's not even close. This is before the CFP came out. 20.3 average rank. That's pretty darn good. 20, not 24. And then it drops to 29 North Texas, and then it drops to Tulane at 39. So you see the AP, you know, they're writers. They don't know everything. Tulane and the Bulls are close to one another. But in the computers, which could actually be one of the tiebreakers, USF is dominating. So they've got the edge in the actual voted-on CFP poll and a vast edge in the computer poll. It's what you want right now. Now you can't mess it up, obviously.
Who you play is so important, because when you start looking at teams and comparing teams and splitting hairs, Derek, you know, there's a lot of people right now that say, oh, James Madison has one loss. Their only loss is to a pretty good Louisville team. They should be in there. South Florida has two losses. Just look at them and let the computers run the numbers, because strength of schedule matters. Strength of results matter. And when you plug all that stuff in, it's not even close. And the reason it's not close is because the South Florida offense has been so dominant this season, so dynamic. Right now averaging, 42 points per game. That is top five in the country. They're top 10 in total yardage at 485 yards per game. Derek, they're doing whatever they want, whenever they want to, and the only team that's stopping South Florida right now on offense is South Florida.
It was quite something on Thursday night against UTSA. When you get those two defensive touchdowns, basically your defense needs a little bit of a rest. And so I actually was mildly concerned, because UTSA got that sort of gift, what ended up being 3 points. Again, credit the defense for keeping it three. You know, what if the Bulls had gone 3-and-out? What if they were not in rhythm? No, they had no negative plays. I know they got had to go 3rd-and-1 for the touchdown. They didn't get put off the field.
Yeah.
So, listen, and we'll get more into Navy in our next segment. Mm-hmm. In past Navy teams, recent history, you would be concerned more about getting into a back-and-forth game, but I just think the way it sets up, the way it looks, stepping back and saying, okay, this is what the Bulls are doing, this is what Navy's doing. If the Bulls keep doing what they're doing, they're going to win.
Derek, let me throw some numbers out that this is important offensively for the Bulls. Have we harped on this a lot over the last 2, 3, 4 years, how bad the Bulls were in third down conversions? You know, they were bottom 20, bottom 10, bottom 30 in the country, weren't converting those third downs at a very high rate, usually below 40%. Now they're 21st in the country at nearly 48% converting third downs. Now, I bring that up because the offense is much improved. The players are better. Those high recruits are now sophomores, juniors, and stuff like that. But the reason I bring that up is because Navy's third down defense is 90th in the country, and their fourth down defense is 133rd. So you've got a really good third down offense going against a really bad third down defense, which to me says Navy's not going to get off the field, and the Bulls might have another one of those days, even though it's on the road, where they could put up half a hundred on somebody.
Yeah, if they hang on to the ball, they can mix it up at will. I think it's so funny, and see if you agree, what was it, 3, 4 weeks ago, Coach Golish's thing was, I don't want Byron Brown to be my leading rusher.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's rolling with it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guy can't be stopped, so why not let him go? The amazing thing about this Bulls offense is they've suffered a lot of injuries at the skill positions, at the running back and at the wide receiver, and yet they just keep on rolling because they have young kids that have stepped up and taken a lot of those first team snaps, and now look at them. I mean, they've gotten game action, and they produced at a very high level. All right, here's offensive coordinator Joel Gordon talking with Joey Johnston.
Coach, let's look back first at the game against UTSA. Byron Brown only had, I guess, 24 touches, 15 pass attempts, 9 rushes, and he produced 348 yards. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a game more efficient than that. Byron's doing a lot this year, but just how efficient he was in this game.
Yeah, those numbers, that's pretty hard to accomplish. So, yeah, when the completion percentage is that high, obviously he didn't throw it a ton, but we were just really efficient, you know, with everything that was going on, and it wasn't just him, but he had some runs that were really good runs, and it started out early in the football game, that's just him. We're putting the ball in his hands. Some of those things are designed, some of them are not, but he was really accurate. He made really good decisions with the football. We had really good protection all night long, so you have to you got to understand the O-line is doing a great job, and the guys are catching the ball on the other end of it, and we're playing good football. But to have a night like that for him, that was a special night.
Kind of an unusual game. I mean, you had to love getting up 14-0 before you ever touched the ball, but the fact was the first quarter almost ended and you still hadn't touched the ball, so very unusual. What about, you know, the way the offense operated with that kind of unusual backdrop?
Yeah, it was really unusual. You know, we were probably standing or sitting on the sideline for probably close to an hour from the time we came out from pregame to the time we got on the field. And, you know, we had to get those guys down on the sideline running around a little bit and make sure that they were loose. And obviously the fear is you got a 14-point lead that the defense put up on the board, and then you go out and you don't play hungry and aggressive and well. And we did exactly what we wanted to do. When we got out there, the guys were ready to play, and I think we scored on the first five possessions, you know, after that. So that's what I was most excited about, probably as anything, was when we had a chance to go finally get on the field, they were ready to go try to close the door, you know, in the first half, and we felt like that's what we did.
There's a good chance you'll be getting Chaz Nimrod back at some point here to help the receivers. But in his absence, these young receivers, such as Jeremiah Koger and Christian Neptune, have just done an outstanding job as freshmen. Speak about these freshman receivers, and I'm sure they're not even freshmen anymore. They're so mature now. But what about the impact they've made on your offense?
Yeah, they've been playing all year. You know, all these guys were on the field against Boise, and I think where they've grown from – you know, the Boise game until now, it's just been tremendous. You know, they've all had opportunities to get the ball in their hands, and man, it's all of it. They're blocking in the run game, and we trust them. So we don't look at them as freshmen that are, man, they're holding us back from calling this play or running our offense in this way. They've been awesome, you know, since training camp, and that's why they're out there, because they earn the opportunities to be on the field. And the fact that they're continuing to grow and get better every single week, man, it's obviously we're excited about that.
The running game, what has allowed Nakai Davenport to kind of take this more of a leadership role, more of a lead role, and really become a, you know, a very vital part of this offense?
Yeah, you know, it starts up front. The offensive line has been playing well, you know, really, that you talk about the young receivers growing from week one. Like you think about where we started as an offense, so many different pieces on the field in that first week. The offensive line has come together, and when Nakai has got his opportunities, man, he's made them count. And he's had some big runs in the last 2 weeks, and we've seen that on the practice field. He's also running the ball really physically in between the tackles, and that's what we're looking for. And he's just been really opportunistic with his chances out there. When the ball has gotten into his hands, he's found a way to be really productive all year long. So super excited about that. And, you know, he's a young player too, you know, hasn't played a lot of football for us, and he's going to continue to turn into a really good player.
As we turn our attention to Navy, as Coach Golish points out, that it's really important to take advantage of your possessions because they may be at a low point with the way Navy plays. How do you feel about that? What kind of points are you emphasizing your team about? You know, this is, you talk about every play counts. Well, for sure, every play counts in a game like this.
Yeah, you hope that when that's the message every day, you know, and that's what we preach every day in the spring and in the summertime and the fall, that every play actually is really important. And every drive is really important. Well, when you get to a game like this, and it probably the detail of that and the facts of that probably are getting driven home more, you know, than ever, just looking at how they play on offense. But for us, it shouldn't change. It should be about running our offense and executing. Like if we go try to change who we are and change our thought process, we're going to be aggressive. Man, obviously, we're going to call the plays that we think are the best way to attack these guys. But man, we're gonna go play our deal, and our guys got to understand, man. When it gets to third down, we got to stay on the field. When we get in the red zone, we got to finish. But hopefully, what we've produced, you know, over the last 7-8 weeks of the season is just that mindset that it doesn't matter who you're playing, man. Go do your job, go put the ball in the end zone, whatever it takes.
Thanks, Coach Gordon. Good luck against Navy.
Thank you.
So that's Joey Johnston talking with offensive coordinator Joel Gordon. And by the way, you're probably saying, for those of you that listen to Herd Here First on a regular basis, why is Joey doing those interviews? Derek always does those interviews. Well, Derek is in Las Vegas with the women's basketball team, so Joey taking care of that, both coordinator interviews, as well as doing our player profile. And we'll hear from Joey and Devin Lee coming up a little bit later on. All right, when we come back, we will preview the Navy midshipmen. They're 7-2 on the season. They're 5-1. They're getting votes in one of the polls, and this game is just as big to them as it is to the Bulls. You're listening to Herd Here First on the South Florida Bulls Radio Network.
For 10 years in a row, Tampa General has been named the number one hospital in Tampa Bay by U.S. News and World Report. And once again, we're recognized as a top 50 hospital in the nation. This year in six specialties: diabetes and endocrinology, ear, nose, and throat, gastroenterology and GI surgery, heart and vascular care, obstetrics and gynecology, and urology. Tampa General, the region's only academic health system, a university-based program.
So, I was just parking my car, and then I saw you. The Gecko, huge fan.
I'm always honored to meet fans out in the wild.
The honor is mine. I just love being able to file a claim in under 2 minutes with the Geico app.
Well, the Geico app is top-notch.
I know you get asked this all the time, but could you sign it?
Sign what? The app? Yeah, sure.
Oh, that means so much. Oh, it rubbed off the screen when I touched it. Could you sign it again?
Anything to help, I suppose.
You're the best.
Get more than just savings. Get more with Geico.
Back on Herd Here First, Saturday at high noon. The Bulls are in Annapolis, Maryland, taking on the Navy midshipmen. Huge game in the American Conference. Derek will preview Navy coming up in just a moment. They have one loss in the league, one of five teams with one loss in the league. They've got one extra in the win column, so you really have to look at the loss column when you start talking about tiebreakers. But Navy had played a lot of league games early in the year, 7-2 overall, 5-1 in the league. I just mentioned a few minutes ago that you're in Vegas. I don't hear any slot machines behind you currently, so I hope you've pulled yourself off of the actual casino floor while we do this today.
I've seen a couple of those around. we are here and actually not too far from the Michelob Ultra Arena, where the USF women's basketball team is playing Thursday night and Saturday night. I will be here to call the games against Fairfield, a returning NCAA tournament team, and number three UCLA. It's going to be a challenge on Saturday. We'll have a football women's basketball doubleheader on Saturday on Bulls Unlimited with the football game at noon, and then I'll be on the air at, 9 o'clock Tampa time? It's actually a nice spot. The weather is nice and warm, unlike back in Tampa on Tuesday when we left, and it was 35 freaking degrees. It felt like 25.
I'm moving to the equator, by the way. I got to get out of here. I got to get someplace warmer. Yeah.
So, no, as my, what is this, ninth year of calling play-by-play for women's basketball, and I know you've got me beat by a lot as far as the men's basketball play-by-play, we love bringing you all those games as the exclusive radio home of men's and women's basketball on Bulls Unlimited, and we will be ready to go on Thursday night. I think that is 6 o'clock Tampa time. We are actually right next to the T-Mobile Arena, home of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. It's very strange seeing Golden Knights people around here. I think of another college that you might know used to be known by that. So actually, they play Thursday after the women's basketball team is done, so I'm probably going to see them play.
Oh, cool.
And then Sunday or Saturday will be great against UCLA. So that's why we're here. That's why you won't hear me from the studio on Saturday. You'll be alone with Steve Kearney and hopefully bring him back a victory for sure.
So the kickoff is set for 12 o'clock. Our live pregame will begin at 11, but of course we're breaking it all down for you earlier in the week here with Herd Here First. So let's talk Navy. This is a team that won 10 games a year ago, Derek. They won six games in the league, tied for third. Let me just throw this out here. This absolutely blew me away today when I saw this. They need three wins to get to 10 wins for the season, which would be back-to-back 10-win seasons for the first time in Navy history. Derek, they've been playing football since 1879. This is season number 146. I can't believe Navy hasn't had back-to-back 10-win seasons, especially during World War II when they were so dominant.
I mean, Now you've got me wanting to look at their 1879 schedule and seeing how many actual games they had on it. I'm guessing there were only three or four teams that played college football back then. So that would explain the early going of not getting to 10 dubs.
Tough to get to 10 there when you got three games. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, unless you're getting some sort of round robin action going on. But it really is impressive. And last year, I don't know if you know this, but I picked Army to win the conference championship last year, and I was right about that.
Yeah,
did I ever mention that? Did I mention that this year, if I had a vote, because there was no media vote, it would have been North Texas, neither here nor there. But the fact is, Navy is the team that actually beat Army after they had won the conference championship last year, and that got them the bowl game got them their 10th win.
The Armed Forces Bowl, right.
Correct, against Oklahoma. It was kind of a curious part of their schedule because their three losses all came in a four-game span, and the only win in that span was at Raymond James Stadium, where it was, we knew that without Byron Brown, there were going to be some games where things just didn't go well. The first game was one, but this game against Navy, the offense simply just couldn't get out of its own way.
There didn't score till the final minute. Yeah.
Right. And there was a touchdown with 2 seconds to go on a pass over the middle that turned out to be a 38-yard touchdown pass with 2 seconds left.
Deep drop, throws it over the middle, caught there in field goal range, maybe more. Teska dodging tacklers, and he gets into the end zone for a 38-yard touchdown with 2 seconds left in the half.
And, I went back and looked at that game last year, and obviously this situation is vastly different. But the defense actually did a pretty good job. If you look at Navy's possessions, they actually punted in the game 5 times, turned it over on downs another time, had actual 2 turnovers, and these were like quick drives. So they scored 4 times, but that was it. They didn't do anything else. So the defense actually, and this goes back to this year, and are you concerned with the triple option? And are they prepared? They actually shut them down pretty well last year.
Well, this Navy team brought 7 starters back on offense, 5 starters back on defense from that 10-win team. It all centers around Blake Horvath. I mean, when he didn't play against Notre Dame, I don't think anyone was really giving Navy an opportunity or a chance to win in South Bend. But without him, they were really going to be in trouble. And we'll see whether or not he plays on Saturday, because the upper body injury kept him out of the game against Notre Dame. I'm with you. I think they made a business decision to say there's no reason risking Blake Horvath against Notre Dame. We need him more against South Florida to try and win a conference championship. And this is a guy that has 2,000 yards combined, 1,100 yards through the air, 900 yards rushing, and he's got 6 straight 100-yard rushing games. He is a leader. He's a winner, and he's ultra-talented, and he's the reason why Navy has been good the last couple of years.
He's the guy. He's the guy. They noticed him, like, in middle school. I think he broke his back when he was in 9th grade, and that took him off the football field, and he played defensive back as a 10th grader, and then he went right back in the triple option thing, and Navy grabbed him. In his sophomore year, he only played a few games before getting hurt. Then last year was his first full year taking over, and he dominated. I was watching, obviously, the Navy-Notre Dame game because the Bulls played Thursday, and, you know, get to watch all the sports on Saturday. It's actually kind of cool. And you could just see, by looking at him, he didn't look like, oh, I wish I was in there. He didn't look hurt. He didn't look like he was feeling badly. I think he knew that even if he played the game of his life, they might not beat Notre Dame. Plus, hold on and see if you can come back and take care of business next week against USF. So I think that was the approach for Navy, and it's not like their backup quarterback's terrible. But yeah, Blake Horvath is a different level.
They're going to run the football. That's their identity. They're the number one rushing team in the country at about 305 yards per game. They average over 6 yards per carry. But, Derek, it's the deception. It's the RPOs. It's the ability to throw over the top of a cheating defense. That's what makes Navy so dangerous. And really, for their head coach, Brian Newberry, who was the defensive coordinator at Navy before he got the job, I love it, the fact that he kept things the same. He's got a guy that can run their offense almost perfectly. But the question with Navy always is, are they talented enough to beat teams on the field? They can out-scheme them. They kind of have to trick you here and there, using the fullback dive a lot, getting on the perimeter. But what happens a lot of times is they get out-athleted, unfortunately for them. And I think that's the case again on Saturday. The Bulls athletes are just way, way better.
Well, they definitely have the talent in that area. And you just break it down. First of all, Horvath has 972 yards rushing. It's great. Alex Teska, who's the fullback, 550 or so. Eli Heidenreich, who's the top receiver, also has 360 on the ground. But Horvath's numbers are incredible. But yes, if you really break it down and look at what they've done this year, they had one game which was kind of crazy, and that was the Air Force game. That's an Air Force game that is only Air Force team that is only 3-5. They threw for 339 yards in that game, but I'm not nitpicking too much. But you look at their seven wins before they've lost their last two at North Texas and at Notre Dame. UAB threw for 321 on them. That game was 24-24 at the half. Tulsa, they were down 14-0, and then Tulsa couldn't stop the Navy rushing attack. Air Force, I just mentioned, was a three-point game. Temple took the lead by seven in Philly with a minute 15 to go, and then Navy was facing a 4th-and-1 at midfield, and then it turned into a touchdown. They decided to go for two. Heroic situation, but it shows you in back-to-back weeks, Air Force and then Temple, they were on the fringe of, you know, maybe not winning. And by the way, Temple outgained them, 518 to 384. So if the Bulls can hang on to the ball, if the Bulls can execute, and yes, use their what looks to be physical and just athletic superiority, they should not fail in this game. And I'm not a big odds maker guy, but I'm in here in Vegas, and everyone thinks the Bulls should win by a lot. I hate to say it like this, but it's up to the Bulls to win and not mess it up, and that's okay. That you'd rather be the team that is supposed to win than the team that has to pull off something to win.
Give you three things to chew on here before we start to take a look at the rest of the American Conference. But we talked about third downs, how important that's going to be in this game. The Bulls are really good this year. Navy's even better. They're 10th in the country, 51% on third downs. And, Derek, they don't have to be 3rd-and-2. The way they can get yardage on the ground, just mentioned 6 yards per carry, they're okay running the ball with that fullback dive on 3rd-and-5. So that's something to keep in mind. Also, they're 6-0 this season when they score first. So that first possession for Navy is going to be very, very important. The Bulls have to get them off the field. And then lastly, Navy has won 77 games in a row when they have the lead.
I knew you were going there.
Yep. You have to mention it. I mean, it's an absurd number, but it's what closers do. They've won 77 games in a row when they have the lead going into the fourth quarter. And like you talked about Army before, this is what Army and Navy and Air Force can do to you. They just bleed it out. They just run the clock. They run the football. They'll use 3 or 4 downs on every single, the entire drive to get down the field. And the next thing you know, 12 minutes is off the clock or 13 minutes is off the clock, and you don't have enough clock to come back. So that's the longest active win streak in the country when you have the lead going into the fourth quarter.
But just to be clear, and of course it's where the Bulls are going to be playing in Annapolis, but that's at home. Still very impressive that they have not lost at home. Went up after 3 quarters since, folks, 1999, when Akron somehow got them. So you definitely do not. They just cherish that
thing.
Akron,
the answer to the trivia question? Akron.
Yes.
Okay.
I just went ahead and gave it to
not
you.
Not Alabama, not Georgia. Okay.
That, you know, what they call chyrons, what they call graphics on TV. If the Bulls, God forbid, are trailing after the third quarter, can you imagine
that's
how
going
quickly
up there.
That graphic's going to go up. Let's hope we don't see it. And by the way, Blake Horvath, he's been tremendous, obviously. I mentioned that Air Force game where they actually threw for a bunch of yards. I should say that in that game, he had the second most yards in total offense, 469, second only to Will Wirth against the Bulls a few years back, the kid from Newsom High School when it was a slugfest. Who knows, man? 49-42, I think, was that score. I don't think we're going in that direction. I would love to see, 48-21 Bulls. It feels like it could be that game, but you do not want to assume anything against Navy. Listen, they were undefeated until 2 weeks ago.
Derek, you mentioned the kid from Newsom a couple years ago. I think it bears repeating that Navy recruits nationally, obviously. They've got four kids from the Bay Area on their roster. I just want to mention their names. Andre Gilbert from Jesuit, DeRaja Hardy from Lakeland, Christian Cromer from Brooksville, and Kendall Whiteside is from Sefner Christian Academy. But those are Tampa Bay Area kids, so there's going to be some Tampa folks that know some of their names, maybe even know some of the families, but those are future leaders of our country. I think they deserve just as much recognition as Blake Horvath does. Now, they're not going to get their name on TV probably, but they at least got it on Heard Here First, so there's something there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jim. Nature Coast, one of the Brooksville, because I'm a Pasco County guy, and I know that's up in Hernando County, but love it, and absolutely. This I do want to stress how impressive they've been. You mentioned the six straight 100-yard rushing games. Also, his 115 yards, talking about Blake Horvath, rushing per game, leads quarterbacks in the entire country, which makes sense. And also their defensive tackle, nose guard Landon Robinson, who has 7.5 tackles for loss, is on some national watch lists. Defensively, they just don't have the size, as you can imagine.
They're really struggling all season on the defensive side of the ball. This is why they've lost their last two games, and this is why they're going to struggle the next couple weeks as well. They just can't stop anybody.
UAB lights them up passing. Temple lights them up with more than 500 yards of offense. The Bulls should be able to light them up.
All right, this is a game, obviously, that a lot of folks in the American are looking at. And now, because the Bulls are in the CFP committee's rankings, a lot of people are going to look at this game nationally. But it's not the only game in the American. All of the games in the American are on a Saturday for a change. I think that East Carolina-Memphis game, which is at 4 o'clock on Saturday, obviously has big implications for getting into the American Conference title game.
Yeah, East Carolina is still one of the one-loss teams that has no chance as far as getting the ranking part of things up, but they're of course thinking, hey, Navy knocks off the Bulls, hey, Navy loses to Memphis, and now we're one of the only one loss teams left, so that's a possibility. Obviously that's a key game to look at. I actually, in a weird way, I don't know who you root for there. I would say it's just one of those games to keep an eye on, because East Carolina is not out of the running yet. UTSA at Charlotte, Tulsa hosts Oregon State, North Texas goes to UAB. Could UAB, do what they did against Memphis?
They can't do it again, right?
They haven't done anything since. And then FAU at Tulane. So Tulane is still, obviously, with that impressive showing, we haven't really recognized what Tulane did to Memphis last Friday night and how it bore similar resemblance to the game against the Bulls, where Memphis was losing big time and almost came back and won it, but Tulane got that one play on offense. Literally one play on offense, basically in the entire second half, was enough because they had enough of a lead. So that's why Tulane, right now anyway, behind USF, and I'd say North Texas is still in the running, obviously, for the conference championship.
All right, it's South Florida and Navy Saturday at 12 o'clock noon. We will talk defense for the Bulls when we come back. This is Heard Here First on the South Florida Bulls Radio Network.
South Florida teams and traditions are legendary. Our team at Strategic Wealth Designers are proud to be a partner of USF Athletics. What an honor to be working together. When you're ready to discuss your financial future, call the team the Bulls Trust. We look forward to creating your winning strategy for retirement. Visit us at swdgroup.com today, and go Bulls!
Beef O'Brady's wants your kids to be part of the USF Bulls player tunnel. This season, at all USF Bulls home football games, your child can get on the field at Raymond James Stadium as the Bulls get set to take on their rivals. Sign up at Bulls Bay in the South Plaza on game day to be part of this amazing experience. Participation subject to NCAA and American Conference compliance rules. Beef O'Brady's, proud partner of the USF Bulls.
Flight by Yuengling is the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment, six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass, raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Herd Here First. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp with you. Good God, we've talked about offense ad nauseum, Derek, for the Bulls and the Navy midshipmen. Let's talk a little bit of defense here. How about, first of all, Jarvis Lee being named the American Conference Defensive Player of the Week. What a spectacular individual performance for him against UTSA. Not the only guy to win the award so far this year for the Bulls, but that defense under Todd Orlando is so much more improved over where they were the last couple of years. They're disruptive, and now they have four defensive touchdowns already this season.
Well, yeah, getting two in one game will help you out. And it was funny because, you know, the two guys that scored, generally it's tough, I've noticed, outside of Defensive Player of the Week, because that's an every week thing, for anybody else that plays defense to get on the honor roll. It's quarterback, running back, receiver, and then maybe a defensive guy slides in there. But if there's going to be a Defensive Player of the Week, which there is, it almost has to go to the guy that scores a touchdown and has a few tackles. But Jarvis Lee, if you look at his number, 6 tackles, 3 for a loss, but also I got to give credit. We're talking about sports information departments. If people don't know this, you know, the American doesn't just, you know, watch back tapes of all the games and go, okay, who should we consider for Defensive Player of the Week? The schools are in charge of lobbying, basically, for their
They'll
players.
They'll nominate people, right.
Correct. And Jarvis Lee, who was the creator of both of those touchdowns defensively, even though on the stats you wouldn't see that. It's not like hockey when you get an assist or soccer when you get an assist. Absolutely deserved it. And so it was great to see. It was fun to see him on Bullseye. Thanks for Jim Locke for stepping in for me, because that show tapes on Tuesday when I was on a flight to Vegas. And they talked to him, and basically the theme of what he had to say was, man, I'm just being as physical as I can. We're all being as aggressive and physical as we can. We're playing together and we're loving it right now. So he has been the man.
Here's something to keep in mind for the Bulls defense. They're now top 10, Derek, in sacks per game. I'm sorry, top 15 in sacks per game, almost 3 per game. And they are top 10 in tackles for loss per game at just over 7. Again, two statistics that 2-3 years ago the Bulls really struggled in. Now they're electric in those two. And they're going to have to be, on Saturday, really good in those categories as well, because Navy is top 5 in the country in fewest sacks allowed and fewest times giving up tackles for loss. So something has to give there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to say this week, if they get enough tackles for 1 yard or 2 yards, that will replace TFL, because Navy
That's
is
not
just
bad.
Giving up
You're right.
3 per game, tied with Ohio State for 4th fewest. Texas at 2.9 is first. And obviously, it's because they don't pass a lot. They're very proficient when they pass, and they don't make a lot of bad decisions handing the ball off. So, let's go for easing off of the TFL stat this week, much like time of possession, which doesn't favor the Bulls in general and definitely probably won't this week. But if you can get enough TF 1 or 2 yards, you'll be in good shape.
All right, Joey Johnston had a chance to talk with defensive coordinator Todd Orlando.
Before we get ready for the USF Navy game, Coach, in the last game against UTSA, obviously the defense came up big early in the game with 2 big turnovers forced by Jarvis Lee very early. Speak about how that influenced the game and how this team continues to force turnovers.
Yeah, it was good. One of the keys to the game was to start fast. And, you know, the first play was really good job of Jarvis, you know, pressuring the quarterback. And it was good to see Tavin finish one. You know, he's been in position to make some plays, but to be able to finish it, and then we get down into the tight red zone and Jarvis comes up big again and Freddie picks it up and scores. So very proud of those guys. And, you know, we had a situation where we muffed a kick on teams. We had to go back on the field. So, you know, you had 28 straight plays in a row. I was proud of that, and it's probably the first time that I've, you know, gone through a quarter with, one side, you see their defense warming up and our offense was over on the sidelines warming up. And it seems like we were the only guys on the field, but pretty cool moment to be able to score 2 touchdowns and, start to build a lead on those guys.
Jarvis Lee was the player of the week in the league. Obviously he's putting up these crazy numbers. So what have you seen from Jarvis in the last few weeks?
Yeah, just the confidence. You know, he's always been a confident kid, you know, when he got here, but he was young, you know, he's young and trying to figure out the position and the looks. But he's super dynamic. He plays without fear. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that he's always been. So he's out there making plays. He's shown he can be a dynamic blitzer. He's shown he can cover. He's shown he can be physical. So very proud of him. He's the one guy when you're looking at the group that has really, really elevated his game.
This team has played very well against the run, played very, very well against the run against UTSA, limiting Robert Henry to well below his average. What has been the key to this unit being good against the ground games?
Well, it starts with the guys up front, and I keep bringing this up, and I brought it up the very first day that, you know, we met for fall camp, and I said we're different up front, and it's, you know, we have a rotation. We got five guys from the portal. They've all played at big, you know, big places. They're long. They have mass to them. And then, you know, if you have that situation to go along with some experienced linebackers, you have a chance. But this game will be unique. This is, you know, a veteran group. They'll formation the heck out of you. They pride themselves on running the football. So it'll be a heck of a challenge for us.
Every time USF plays Navy, it's the same theme. Got to have discipline. You got to have integrity in the gaps. It never changes. How do you continue to sell that to the players? And do you think they have a good understanding what's needed here?
Well, I think it just goes back to how healthy your locker room is, how much each other get along with each other. Because most of the time when you're doing undisciplined stuff, you're thinking about yourself. So we've grown leaps and bounds from that standpoint. I think when we first got here, I think there was a whole bunch of guys that would just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go make a play and make a play. Now, to sit there and not let somebody else down by making sure that you do your job at a high level. But this will be the ultimate test of discipline, you know, throughout 60 minutes.
Coach Golish talked about the need to maximize possessions. And you want to try to get more possessions, and you can do that by forcing turnovers. You guys have been good at that. How important is it in this game to get a few turnovers?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. You know, it happened a little bit when they played North Texas. And then you got to get them into somewhat doable third downs, you know, because as we just got done, you know, this week with our segment of third down, if you can't get off the field, you're going to go at it again for another 7 minutes. And that's the one thing that will be the ultimate test. We're as fast as anybody in the country in terms of pace of play, and they're close to the bottom in terms of being, you know, very methodical about limiting possession. So I think that absolutely is going to be the key to this game.
Everybody that plays against Navy defensively, it's the same thing about the discipline and how hard it can be. As a defensive coordinator, do you enjoy these sort of things, this kind of challenge?
Well, it's the complexities of what they do is not enjoyable. So it's, you know, they'll formation the heck out of you. That piece of it is. But I think it ultimately goes down to what we said beforehand is how together are you? Are people willing to sacrifice, you know, certain agendas to make sure that as the group has success? And, you know, that starts with day one of camp. That starts with our communication with each other, whether we want to hang out with each other during lunch or whether or not we don't, or we have a whole bunch of cliques, which we don't. But that's the things I think we've gotten so much better. And I really believe it's the reason why we're winning. It's not a magic call. It's not a play here and there. It's just because our guys are more united. And we'll find out. This will be put to the ultimate test this game.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Good luck against Navy.
Appreciate you.
So, Derek, I think that's what the Bulls are going to do against this triple option attack. Again, Todd Orlando can bring pressure from a lot of different areas. Jarvis Lee is a perfect example that he's coming from the safety position to get those sacks, to be disruptive on defense. You have to bring it from different areas on the field to disrupt this offense.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how many five-man fronts we see because I was actually watching that. We weren't sure about Rico Watson. He got on the field plenty against UTSA. The Bulls might either have two B-backers on the field at the same time, which normally it's three linemen and one B-backer. I'm thinking, yeah, because DJ Harris has been so good. I think they want to keep him out there as a physical sort of run-stopping guy. And then you really do have a seven-man front when you include what would be a second B-backer along with Shuler and Mack as your two linebackers.
You know who's been really good in limited action since he came back? Mike Williams. Mike Williams has been disruptive up there.
Thank you for saying that. Absolutely another factor, I think, yes, against Navy. A very cerebral guy as well, so a lot of it is, you know, in the head. So, yeah, good point.
We'll come back and wrap things up on Herd here first. Joey Johnston has our player profile with one of those guys up front, Devin Lee. We will wrap it up coming up next on the South Florida Bulls Radio Network.
What does it mean to be bold?
Being bold is about taking leadership. USF is launching the Bellini College of AI, Cybersecurity, and Computing, first of its kind in Florida.
To be bold is to use the human voice to diagnose and treat diseases.
Being bold means being the first person in my family to graduate college.
At the University of South Florida, our people make bold happen every day. Learn more at bebold.usf.edu.
Hey, Bulls fans! Score big at Hooters this season and take advantage of the Bulls Bundle Tailgate Pack. 20 traditional wings, 20 boneless wings, fries, or tots for $62.99. Available for to-go orders only in the Tampa Bay area. Visit originalhooters.com to place your order. Hooters, get your game on.
You know the power and energy the Bulls bring every game day. Imagine that same energy powering your home. With Lunex Power, you can harness the sun's force just like our teams harness their drive on the gridiron. Get in the game with an environmentally friendly, cost-saving solar electric system and score big savings on your energy bills. Kick off your solar journey today at LunexPower.com, your local family-owned solar energy provider. Go green, go team, and go solar.
It's USF at Navy, and our player guest is defensive lineman Devin Lee. Devin, let me ask you first, were you watching ESPN Tuesday night?
Absolutely.
What did you think when you saw South Florida come up on the board?
Excited, but I expected it. You know, I think we're the best team for that position.
How does this team manage the mindset now? The fans are beyond excited about this. You guys still have to play games and win games. So how do you measure the excitement versus, you know, taking care of business?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had the same mindset from the start of the season. You know, we're going to play 1 week at a time, take it game by game, and, you know, carry the same mindset. Not, don't get too high, don't get too low, but somewhere in that middle.
Yeah. When you look at the statistics, the way you guys have played against the run continues to improve. It's very, very good. You were great against UTSA. What has been the key to you guys stopping the other teams running it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the defense being disciplined, you know. Being in your gap, not trying to make a play that's not meant to be made by you, you know. Just playing, doing your job at a really high level.
What you just described is kind of how you play Navy. I mean, obviously, to everybody that plays Navy, it's all about eye discipline, gap integrity, all of that. So as a defensive player, how do you get your mind right to play against this Navy team?
Yeah, I mean, from my position, we just got to own the A gap, you know. We're not going to be out there making every play, but when it does come to us, we got to make that play and do our job. So just not expecting to go out there and do someone else's job. Just do your job and we'll be fine.
What is different about them when you're on the field? I know, you know, sometimes people are saying you can't find the ball. I mean, what's it like for a player to be out there with that kind of thing, and what do you have to do to make sure that you're effective?
Yeah, it's very different for me. You know, this is my first time playing like an option-based team, but my main job is to tackle the dive. Even if he doesn't have a ball, I got to make sure I tackle that dive player. So if I do that, we're good.
There were a lot of new faces on this defense when the season started. Now you're in week 10. You guys are a team now. What's been the key to guys, all you guys meshing together and being what's become a really good defense?
I would say, like, the stuff we do outside of here, you know. We spend a lot of time in here just talking ball, going over plays and stuff. But it's that bond we created outside the building, you know. We're at people, our teammates' houses, just spending time with each other, getting to know each other, just creating a bond that just playing football couldn't create, you know.
Has being at USF met your expectations? I know you probably chose this school based on some criteria. What's the year been like here for a first-year guy such as yourself?
Man, I loved it, you know. I think what really makes the place is the people, and the people here have been awesome, so I can't ask for anything better.
All right, Devin Lee, thanks a lot, and good luck against Navy.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff there from Joey Johnson and the Vanderbilt transfer, Devin Lee. Listen, that's going to wrap it up for Derek and I on this edition of Heard Here First. Don't forget, we will be live on Saturday morning beginning at 11 a.m. Actually, Derek won't, but I will be. That will be 11 o'clock a.m. for USF and Navy. Kickoff is set for 12 o'clock noon. You've been listening to Heard Here First on the South Florida Bulls Radio Network.
USF's meteoric rise in academics is matched only by its surge in athletics. USF football, in less than 30 years, is crashing the gates of college football's elite. But they've never had a true home. Until now. A cathedral built for college football, seating over 35,000. The campus will come to life as tents and RVs fill fan zones that stretch across every inch of green space. Tens of thousands of alumni and fans join in on the game day celebrations, some relaxing in luxury suites, others in exclusive club areas. Many more are gathered in one of college football's boldest features, a rooftop lounge boasting the longest bar in the state of Florida. This is more than just a stadium. It's a statement, a new home, a new era, and it all begins now.
Reserve your seat by becoming a season ticket holder today. Call 1-800-GO-BULLS
That's 1-800-GO-BULLS.
Imagine the perfect chicken tender. Crispy, juicy, for lack of a better word, tendery. Now imagine these perfect tenders at Wendy's. Because they are. Wendy's new chicken tenders are here, with delicious new dipping sauces like Wendy's Signature, Creamy Ranch, and Honey Barbecue. And they're so good, we even changed our name. From Wendy's to Tendies. I believe that's what the kids call manifesting. For Tendies you're going to know by name, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
For 10 years in a row, Tampa General has been named the number one hospital in Tampa Bay by U.S. News and World Report. And once again, we're recognized as a top 50 hospital in the nation. This year in six specialties: diabetes and endocrinology, ear, nose, and throat, gastroenterology and GI surgery, heart and vascular care, obstetrics and gynecology, and urology. Tampa General, the region's only academic health system, a university-based program.